Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Happy Monday to you, and welcome to another edition of The Trade Show. It is IPLR. How is everyone after a long, long weekend of football? There's so many reasons we'll get into all that later. Again, everyone, welcome to The Trade Show. This is PLR. How is everyone doing today? Hopefully, you can have a good weekend. We are live today, live at the Yard Cigar Bar. I'm Dotson and Elliot. Oh, come on down to open till 11 o'clock. Of course, we're showing the Monday Night Football game tonight, Cardinals and the Cowboys. Located in Chandler, Arizona. Again, that is Dotson and that is Elliot. So get on down here, check out the game, enjoy a nice cigar, touch on these screens, and definitely check them out. What's going on, everyone? We have some NBA news to talk about today. We got MLB. Arizona Diamondbacks clinched a spot in the wild card. Not only because the spot, they will be home hosting the first game of the wild card run for the World Series. And then we have NFL news. The Cardinals are hosting the Dallas Cowboys tonight in Phoenix, so we'll definitely check it. Actually, technically, in Glendale, so we'll definitely check that out. Get into that. Talk about the Cardinals' key to win, the Cowboys' keys to win, and everything else that's going on. Got some college football as well. Big upset out here in Tempe, Arizona, as Arizona State Sun Devils upset the Oregon Ducks. And yes, this is the first week we will produce our football top 20. All right, let's do it. Let's just get right into it. Let's attack the elephant in the room. As Donald Trump, President of the United States, on Saturday at a rally decided to call. Well, you know what? Let's just back up. He's at one of his rallies. He's talking to a lot of pro Donald Trump people, and we got into the subject of kneeling for the national anthem. And here's the thing with this whole thing that's driving me absolutely bananas. I agree that people have a right to express themselves in a certain way. Now, if they want to live with those repercussions, that's their choice. But they have a right to do that. And football players, not all of them, but some of them, have decided to kneel, sit, do different things in the national anthem come along. If you're backing them, okay. If you're not, okay. But it is their right to do that. This way, in Charlottesville, when the neo-Nazis had a permit, march and do whatever. I say the same thing. They have a permit to march and do whatever. Free conscience, freedom of speech, you have a right. Now, what you don't have a right is for someone to just insult you and single you out. Now, there's no secret. The majority of the people that are kneeling for the national anthem are African-American men. So, the president decided to say, and I'm going to paraphrase, I'm not going to say word for word, but basically, those son of a bitches that are kneeling down, disrespecting our country and our flag, their owners should come down and tell them they're fired. Fired. Now, there's no need to call a man sons of bitches. That's not becoming of the office at all. If it's something that you don't like, you have a right not to like it. If you have an opinion you want to express it, you have that opinion. But that's way off. That's insulting. And it's beneath you to think what the President of the United States would say. He comes out and he tweets even more stuff. Of course he comes out. He does a lot of stuff. I like how he said NASCAR is behind him. Well, come to find out, Dale Earnhardt being the most popular racer on the circuit, said people have a right to express their own opinion. Of course, that's going to get overlooked. But the NFL decided they fired back. They said, or rather, they did, as an action, interlock arms. Neil, not come out for the national anthem. They did all this. Now, listen, all these people are behind a specific cause, but what they did do, what he did do, he says he's the great United. Well, he was successful and united a whole bunch of football teams. Come together and say, hey, these aren't things that you call going in. These aren't things that you do. He didn't stop in the NFL. He got done in the NBA. Steph Curry has said that if it was up to him, he wouldn't go on a White House visit for the Golden State Warriors to celebrate their championship. But, you know, usually teams in this country, when they win a title, they get called for the White House. Now, here's the crazy part. He said, and I heard him on Friday say, he would vote no. Now, Kevin Durant came out and said he wouldn't go. But Steph Curry said when the team was together, he would vote no. I'm going to the White House. Donald Trump, that man is that, and he said, you're now disinvited. Golden State Warriors, you're disinvited. Now, last I checked, you can't uninvite someone who's not going, but that's neither here nor there, which then sparked retaliation from LeBron James, and it just got real ugly. And I'm not going to get into the political side of it, but I do wonder why the president of the United States felt the need to inject himself to sports that he can't. This goes all the way back. I remember this. This goes all the way back to Serena Williams winning Wimbledon last year, and Donald Trump saying she's a good friend of mine, to which she said, oh, I'm not his friend at all. So he needs to stay out of sports properly. You know, it's kind of funny because we always say to athletes, athletes are always told, do what you do. Stay in your lane. No one cares about your opinion. Hollywood, stay out of politics. No one cares about what you think. Just stay in your lane. But no one says that when Ted Nugent has something to say. All behind Ted Nugent. None told him to hold on, which is his right, which is an amendment. You have the right to get off. No one says anything when he goes out on his tangent. No one said anything when he went on his tangent about how he felt about President Barack Obama. That was his choice. He has that right. As Americans, he has that right. No one says anything when Kid Rock performs with the Confederate flag flying behind him. That's his right. He can do that. But when athletes say something or try to express themselves, they're called guns against you. I don't know. I think it's a sad day. I think it's a sad day. But so it is what it is. But what got me, out of all the people that either knelt yesterday or locked arms or did something of that nature, what hit me and what stood out to me the most was Tom Brady. Because Tom Brady stays away from anything and everything. But he was one of the players that locked arms. Pittsburgh Steelers didn't come out of their locker room. There are teams, Baltimore and Jacksonville play in London. They could leave. The owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars locked arms with this play. This, again, be on whatever side you want. I honestly could care less. But I think that as Americans, we have to be able to appreciate and understand what each side is saying. Sure, I have an opinion, but I don't think it's appropriate here. I don't think it's appropriate right now. I mean, you could probably tell a lot of folks know how I feel and where I come from in this matter. But at the same time, I'll go back to what I said originally. For someone who says they're the great uniter, he finally proved it. He finally was able to get the entire NFL, for the most part, together, united against calling men sons of bitches. All right, that's done. I think that's the elephant in the room. Elephant in the room address. Now we can talk about these games. Get right into it. Online with us right now, our intern, Anna Carrie Lackey Law Line. the man himself. I hung out with him a little bit ago as we were covering the Suns Media Day, which we'll get into a little bit later. Online with us right now, the one and only Ryan Dorf. And Ryan, what's going on?
What's going on, Paul?
Hey, nada, man. What a busy day today.
Yeah, I know. No kidding. Really.
So I want to get right in. I want to talk football because we have a lot to get to. I definitely want to talk about the game yesterday, and I definitely want to break down the Cardinals. But I want to do the games first, and then we'll break down the Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys keys to win.
Mm-hmm.
The first game I definitely want to talk about, the game that started at 6 a.m. because it was in London. Jaguars and the Ravens.
Yeah.
We have to start right away, and we have to face some reality here. When the season began, we said the Jaguars were one of the worst teams in the NFL. We also said the Rams were one of the worst teams in the NFL. The Jaguars, they're doing one thing you have to be able to do, and that's run the ball and control the clock. This is the second time in 3 weeks that they've been able to do that. And honestly, I think Baltimore's first two victories, I wasn't impressed by them at all, but I was impressed by the Jaguars and what they were able to do to the Ravens in London.
Yeah, you know, the Jaguars really surprised. They definitely shocked me. Three quarters of shutout football. Blake Bortles looked anything besides himself. He actually looked like the quarterback the Jaguars thought he was going to be in this game. And they played a terrific game. They were terrific defensively. And this is no longer a team that is the laughing stock of the AFC South. The Jaguars are proving to everyone that they are here to compete. And that is the statement that I received from that game.
The South is really a winnable conference as division in the AFC. There's not a team that's going to run away with the division. And the first quarter of the season, believe it or not, is here next week. If you have the great the Jaguars are out so far, they're definitely playing. Right, if they finish 3-1 and start the first quarter of the season, you really have to put them up and say, hey, here's a team with the chance to possibly, they can keep everyone healthy, especially on the defensive side of the ball, they can make some noise because they may be able to beat Indianapolis twice. You have 2-1 wins, that's a 4-1 team right now.
Yeah, and think about it. I mean, I think at this point, with the 2-1, let's see, 3-1, I think the team is going to be 4-2. You know, I mean, actually 5-2, to be honest. I mean, their next four opponents are the Jets, which will probably win, the Steelers, which is going to be a tough game for them. Then they get the Rams at home, and then they play the Colts, which maybe plays in that game. But this looks like a recipe for early success for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I agree. Let's talk about the Bills and the Broncos. Before we get into too much, I do want to talk about the refs and their judgment. I don't know what they wanted to call on them roughing the game, roughing the passer, whatever they wanted to call, personal foul. It just seems like you got the tackler laughing, you got the quarterback, Tyrod Taylor laughing, they're talking stuff to each other. How is that either personal foul or roughing the passer? I don't get it. I mean, the Broncos didn't play well anyway. I don't think that one thing decides the game. But I don't like that call.
I think that the reason that the team lost was because of that stupid thing that Von Miller did, and it was just stupid. That's the only way to describe it. It was stupid. He made a stupid decision, and the team lost.
But do you really blame all of that on that? I mean, honestly, did you really think that call should have been called? Honestly.
I mean, it was unsportsmanlike, you know. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, he clearly was unsportsmanlike when he did that. But I don't think that it should have been called. I mean, I just think it's a stupid scenario because now obviously they got into better field position and they gained momentum because of that. I don't know what to say. Like, do you call it? Do you not? I don't know. I'm happy in my referee.
I
hear
you. I just know what. we're legislating so much out of sports, though. It's just driving me nuts. You guys can't talk to each other. You can't trash talk. I mean, it's football.
But, okay,
here's the one thing that I've been saying, and I'm going to keep saying. I like Trevor Siemian. I like Trevor Siemian when he's playing from behind. I'm not a Trevor Siemian fan in tight games of playing from behind. Because then you're counting on him to win the game. I don't think he can win you a game. I think he can manage you a game. I think he will not lose a game, but I do not trust him to win a game. And I think that's why, no matter how good the Broncos defense is, I think that's going to be a hard road to hold the whole year if you're playing with the quarterback. That will need to not go out and win a game for you.
Yeah, you know,
so
what?
I think that was explosive.
I agree. I agree with you.
Anyway, believe it or not, Buffalo 2-1. So, great. Now let's get into this. And then the Browns 0-3. Colts 1-2 after this weekend. The Colts again. Yes, they didn't win a game, but they tried like hell to give this game back away. Even though the Colts won the game, and I love the way Deshaun is playing, I really like Deshaun. I know he has the greatest of games.
He threw three interceptions yesterday. You realize that, right?
I do understand it, but at the same time, I think Cleveland has a quarterback that they can actually go with. I really do. And it reminds me, it reminds me of the Cowboys years ago when Troy Aikman went 1-15 this first year. But they just kept slowly putting the pieces around him. And I know I'm talking about the Browns. But if Josh Gordon can come back and he has another weapon to throw to, and they can get anything out of a running game or draft someone down the line, I really think this is going to be an okay for the Browns.
I mean, Colts, this has been a work in progress for a while.
Vikings and Buccaneers. Case Keenum won the game.
Case Keenum looked really, really good yesterday. And Vikings, as a whole, just played a dominant game.
Stephon Diggs, once again, might be the most underrated wide receiver in football because he had another incredible game. He did to start the season. Last week wasn't that great, but he did again. I mean, he's really one of those underrated guys. And if you're not careful, he can single-handedly beat you because he's that exciting in the sport, and he definitely can make some big plays.
Yeah, he really can. I'm an idiot. I sat him in one of my leagues.
Texans and Patriots. Very exciting game.
What?
Is there anything to say?
Yeah. That game was shockingly close. Shockingly close. I mean, especially for a game in Foxborough. Brady balled out.
He did. The Texans defense, for whatever reason, gives the Patriots fit. And on that last drive, Brady got some.
Well, did they really? They gave up 36 points. I wouldn't really call that giving someone six. I mean, Brady had a crazy game.
True, but at the same time, what I'm saying is the Texans always won. I think they played them better than just about anyone overall. I mean, let's think about it. Brady had a fumble that they recovered. He threw what was easily an interception that was dropped.
Yeah, that was like four. Fumbled the ball four.
He just got break after break after break. But I will tell you one thing that was that we'll never hear again. Well, yeah, we will get it later. But Deshaun balled out against a team that usually beats the crap out of rookie quarterbacks.
He also just threw two interceptions. That wasn't good.
Okay. Well,
and if you're
you always go right to the negative. Can we talk about the stuff he did well?
I mean, I guess, you know, a good by the way, if you're wondering why Texans always give the Patriots fits, I mean, Texans have, like, so many ex-Patriot coaches on their coaching staff. I don't think I didn't realize it. Like, how many ex-coaches from the Patriots Texans have. And it starts in the top with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
And it just goes down.
But 22 of 33, 301 yards, two touchdowns. You mentioned the two interceptions. Not a lot of quarterbacks are doing that as rookies against New England in New England.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. I'll give you that for sure.
Another game that I absolutely loved watching this weekend was the Eagles and the Giants. The Giants roared back. 24 points came real close. A 61-yard field goal to win a game. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy. Odell showed he's back, though. But then he got hurt at the end of the game, and then he came back in to return that kick if it hadn't gone in. But Giants, again, they have no running game. But surprisingly, Eli Manning was not sacked during the game. And so for all the talk about the Giants' offensive line, they did not surrender a single sack.
True, but the Giants are in trouble.
Yeah. The Giants are in trouble,
for sure.
They're 0-3.
I wonder how. Oh, yes. And you know what? I heard someone say something this morning, and I forget which player or coach said it, and I feel bad because I wanted to give him credit. But he said the one thing that he's noticing about McAdoo is he runs every play out of two or three formations. And if you run every offensive play out of two or three formations, you're constantly letting the defense tee off. It's just the truth. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You have to disguise your plays better, do things out of different formations, do a lot of different things. And as much as he's talking about Eli, he knows that one time, Eli isn't putting those plays together. So, I think McAdoo should be on the hot seat. And I'm being dead honest about that. Because I don't see anything he's doing.
Yeah, I never really liked him. Yeah.
You know? We'll run through this quick. The Saints beat the Panthers. I don't think Cam is right. I really don't. The Packers had a scare.
Yeah,
came back to the single.
What's going on with him? What is going on
with
Cam?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
Cam,
like, you know, I love Cam, you know? I love him.
Shoulder and ankle, man. He's just not right. Shoulder and ankle. And, as much as everyone loves Cam, as much as a good guy he is, think about it for a second. Have you ever seen Cam really throw with touch?
Not really.
Cam isn't going to lob passes. Players over the linebacker with that pass dropping in front of the safety.
But he makes sure of his legs. That's what he's. Everyone knows that.
Exactly. Or deep balls. He can throw a deep ball. But 58% passer isn't going to get you very far. Seahawks, again, something's wrong with that team, man. Seriously. Something's wrong with that team. I don't know if the defense is so good, but you can see signs that they're starting to get a bit older. They're not as good as they used to be. The one thing about the NFL is things figure you out. And after all these years, I think teams are starting to figure them out. Offensively, they just definitely don't have a good enough offensive line, and they don't have any weapons like they used to anymore. I mean, your best wide receiver is Doug Baldwin. Jimmy Graham is still being misplayed. So I think they're good enough to get to the playoffs, but I don't think they're good enough to go deep in the playoffs.
Titans
return this week to game the Titans. So we'll see. We'll see. Bengals and Packers, like I was about to say. Packers came back. Bengals scored 21 points in the first half, three the rest of the way. There's another coach, honestly. Another 0-3 team. I think Marv should be out of hot seat. I like Marvin Lewis, but nothing changed with his team. They're regressing.
Yeah.
They're not progressing. And I think it's time. Honestly, I think it's time for them to go. Go ahead. Before I move on.
No, I was just going to say, I just think Dalton's not good. That's all.
Captain Obvious. I think he is a very serviceable quarterback. He's in that mid range where you pop all those guys in between somewhere like
and you know who's better? Kaepernick.
I'm not even gonna go there. I'm gonna make it one show without saying Colin Kaepernick. I am gonna make it one show. The Redskins, the Raiders are a very good team. The Redskins crushed them last night. Due to a lot of things. Mr. Thompson, the Redskins running back, had a hell of a game. Receiving, running the whole nine. But let's be honest, right? The Raiders' defense is good as that offense can be. Until they learn how to play defense, they are not going to go far in the playoffs.
I don't understand. They have Khalil Mack, and they have
That's it.
Yeah, like, I mean,
better find a way.
Yeah.
Better find a way.
I guess you're right.
The Chargers this week, following the fact they got tired of losing at the end of the game, so they just lost this game from the second quarter on.
Seems like that's what
happened. I you know, honestly, you talk about teams that should be good. The Chargers, I don't get it. Philip Rivers is a good quarterback. Melvin Gordon is a good running back. They got good receivers. I don't get why. Their defense isn't great, but not terrible. I do not understand why this team every year struggles.
Well, you know what? Here's what I think. I think I'm looking at a loss to the Broncos in week one that has a very good defense. Which is understandable. I'm looking at a loss in week two, which shouldn't have happened against the Dolphins due to a special teams error. And I'm looking at a loss in week three to a very good Chiefs team that beat New England in week one. So I'm looking at a team that has Mike Williams, who was a first-round wide receiver pick, who's out still with an injury. And so it's just, you know, I'm looking at an inconsistent team who is close, but they're just not there yet. But they have a good team. They have a good foundation.
Something always goes wrong with them. Be honest about it. Okay, I'm going to say this real quick. Save you pain. I don't know how the hell the Jets beat the Dolphins. The Jets should be 0-16 this year, but it looks like they're going to be 1-15 thanks to the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
You wanted Jay Cutler? You got Jay Cutler. Still the pain.
Yeah.
The Bear fans have felt forever.
You know, I mean,
that's
wrong with that. All these games that we talked about, like where the losing team, like the Dolphins game, the Raiders game. I mean, with the lack of a run game, and both teams have great running backs. Oakland Raiders have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, and Marshawn Lynch, he only got 18 yards to carry. 18 yards? What are you, crazy? And then the Dolphins. Jay Ajayi, you should be pounding the ball. Only gets 11 carries. There's something wrong there, you know. And it's just maybe it was the time of difference in possession. I mean, the Dolphins were 23 minutes with the ball. The Jets had 36 minutes. But it was just not enough power runs. The Dolphins, not enough power runs in the Raiders.
And then quickly, Falcons beat the Lions. Were very, very entertaining game. Both of these teams are for real. No, they are, really. Both of these teams are for real. I really think the Colts are going to win the NFC North. The Falcons, I believe, are still the best team in NFC. If there was any Super Bowl hangover.
What did you just say?
The Falcons are the best team in NFC.
Did you just say
NFC?
The Lions were going to win the NFC North?
I did.
That's not going to happen. You do realize the Packers are in the division, right?
Do we have to go to IC again? You're already 2-0. You want to go back to the IC again?
I'm telling you, the Packers are a better team than the Lions. Like, they have Aaron Rodgers. They're telling me that a team with Aaron Rodgers on it is going to lose to a team with Amir Abdullah. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. The Packers are the better team. The Lions might be the wild card, but not being the Packers.
Do you want to go to the IC again?
No, I don't want to go for an IC again. But I will say that I don't see this lasting very long. I really don't.
Do you want to go to
Stafford didn't even play well. Stafford didn't even play well. He was he looked terrible in that game. I don't know how they got.
Do you want to go to
the defense?
You want
no,
to,
I don't want to go to
the
defense. I'm just saying the deep. No.
No. I see how your confidence will. And then the best game of the day yesterday, the game that everyone should be talking about, are the Chicago Bears. Yes, I'm smiling. That's what that ball is for. Found a way to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, unbelievable.
They got off the side. They're now 1-2.
Yeah, unbelievable. I swear, I tell people all the time, Roethlisberger is a completely different quarterback at home versus on the road. And you saw that. He And just, it was just embarrassing. How do you lose to the Bears? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I know. The only thing worse than losing the Bears is losing to the Jets, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess you're wrong. You're right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's worse.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, let's talk quickly about the game tonight. We only got a couple minutes to do this. Give me your keys to a Cowboys win. Give me your keys to a Phoenix win. Or, excuse me, Arizona win.
Well, for the Cowboys, you know, they got to do what they do best, which is run the ball with Ezekiel Elliott. Feed Ezekiel Elliott. And I think the Cowboys will cruise in this game. As for the Cardinals, I think that stopping the run is going to be the key to the game. I don't think they need to worry too much about the passing game, as Patrick Peterson is going to gobble up Dez Bryant. And so I think that for the Cardinals, they need to stop the run. For the Cowboys, they need to run the ball. Whoever wins that run game battle will win the game.
Keys to the Cardinals.
Well, the Cardinals, they need to stop the run. And most of all, the Cardinals need to have consistency and fluidity. And they need to convert on third down. And most of all, I'm really looking for the Cardinals run D. And J.J. Nelson also come out in that slot receiver and make some noise.
I think the key to Dallas, like you said, is run the ball, control the clock. With Zeke Elliott, I think that's their key to win. I think Cole Beasley's going to have a big game against the Cardinals.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's the key. For the Cardinals, I think you have to have some sustained drives. You have to eat up as much as the clock, which goes to the running game, like you said. But I think ball protection is going to be this important. They have to protect the ball. They have to keep their turnovers down 0-1.
I agree.
Turn the ball over a lot. If Carson is careless with some passes, they will be in trouble. And that will not be a good start for the Cowboys. Remember, both teams are 1-1. Neither one of these teams want to go to 1-2. And I think this is the start for both teams to say, hey, look, if we go 1-2, we know we're in trouble. I just want to get this out before we switch topics. If the Cardinals lose tonight, do you know the Rams are in first place in the NFC West?
I did not know that.
Yeah, just thought I'd share that with you. We are brought to you by DC Speeders. We're located on Elliott and Priest in Tempe, Arizona. Best vegetarian food that you will have. Get down there, definitely check them out. Let them know if you'll offer the KHO sent you. They will take 10% off your meal. Remember what I always say about the DC Speeders Grill. Everything is fresh. If it was used yesterday, it will not be used today. Will not. So, again, you're not going to have fried chicken one day, the next day it turns into strips, and then the day after that it turns into nothing. Tiki sauce is fresh daily, and every vegetable and everything you see there is fresh. Get on down there to Tiki Speeder Grill, located on Elliott and Priest in Tempe next to T-Mobile. Let them know PLR Center, and we'll take the extra off of the other one. I want to just quickly go through college football real quick. Quickly talk about Sun Devils. I know you are. But I had a quick disagreement a little bit earlier today. I'm not in favor of letting Ty Graham go. I think the program can turn the corner. I really do. And I'm real big. Whenever someone says someone should be fired, I always want to turn around and ask, then who do you hire? And I just don't see anyone out there internally or externally who's going to come in and can go with a new program. Again, go with new schemes, again, go with everything, and flip this team right around and re-recruit the players that they want and be successful without another 2 years basically going away.
Chip Kelly.
I hear you. I'm not all the way sold. I'm trying, but I'm not all the way sold. I'm sorry.
He's fired at the end of this year. It's going to happen. So right now, what you should be focusing on is who's the right guy to hire. All right, and it's Chip Kelly. Now the only thing about Chip Kelly is as much as I dislike Manny Wilkins, Wilkins is a much better fit for Kelly's offense than Blake Barnett would be, and he's leaving. So maybe that'll play into it, and who's going to, you know, who the quarterback's going to be, and who's going to work with that. But you know, so that's the devil's advocate there. I don't know who. You know, if he leaves, Kelly and Barnett, I don't really know if that's it.
I will tell you this, though. Against Oregon, which is a big win, I love, if you go back to the Texas Tech game, the one thing that has improved, and ASU has been winning, or I shouldn't say winning, but they've been doing better, they're targeting N'Keal Harry at least 10 to 12 times a game, if not more.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I like.
That,
yeah.
And he is, Manny Wilkins is throwing it up, and N'Keal Harry is coming down with the pass. And he's a big play, big threat guy. And I wish this was something they would have thought of in game towards the end of game one, and definitely a game two against San Diego State, which now proves to be, in college football, I use these terms, I don't understand why, but technically a good loss. Because San Diego State has turned around and beat Stanford. And Stanford was one of the most highly, highly rated teams or ranked teams when the season started. So I like what ASU is doing. If they can go up there and beat Stanford, I think your wish may not come true, because if you go back to back with Oregon and Stanford in conference, you got to remember, what you do out of conference matters, but what you do in conference matters more. And if they have that,
yeah,
that means they're 2-0 in conference play. So I think the game
I guess
it's really big.
Yeah, for sure.
And as usual, we'll get around to the rest of the college games coming up this weekend. The weekend gets closer, but after that game, listening to Manny talk, listening to Coach Graham talk, they really seem like it's coming together. I love this quote when he said he looked at Chase Lucas, a freshman quarterback out of Chandler High School here, when he said, "I look at him and I see dog." And I absolutely love that. When you have players that need to make plays and they have that dog look in their face, kind of hard to beat them, especially when it's a freshman. And those are the people I think can catch off ASU in terms of getting everyone else motivated. So good game all the way around. Great win. Freshman kicker came through, and I think it's a good win. And those of you, Brian, and other ones like you, Brian, they keep winning big games. I'm gonna have to get you a Todd Brand T-shirt.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll see though.
All right, let's wrap this up. We were at the Suns Media Day today. We'll have a lot of sound cut up and ready for you tomorrow. Of course, I with DLR coming back this week, so we'll have even more sound. We'll bounce around the NBA. But there were two transactions made over the weekend. Just want to quickly touch on them before time gets away from us here. Last night, it starts their first Wayne Wade. Gave back $8 million roughly to get out of the Chicago contract. He was bought out. Where do you see Dwayne Wade going, and where do you see Dwayne Wade helping the team, or what team do you see him helping the most?
I see him going to Cleveland. I don't want to see him back in Miami, to be honest. And I love Dwayne Wade. He's my favorite player of all time. But he just wouldn't really do anything on Miami, and he should go back because they're not going to be – right now, he's ring chase. He wants another ring, and he wants to you know, be happy right now. So if I'm him, I'm going to either Cleveland, San Antonio, or Oklahoma City. I think it's probably going to be Cleveland and then Oklahoma City and then San Antonio. I think I'll have the biggest impact on Cleveland. And I just – it makes sense. He's back with LeBron, and it's just storybook, and that would make sense for Wade to go. Or he teams up with Carmelo, who he's friends with. And that's another option. Their shooting guard is Andre Roberson. They could use Dwayne Wade. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be the Cavs or the Thunder.
You know what? I asked that question too. I think they'll do more good with Oklahoma City. Roberson's jersey shoots better than him. You could lay his jersey on the ground if I'm not in it and get more production out of Dwayne Wade. I think that would be a better fit for him. Because he'll actually play some meaningful minutes, and he will only help that team. And Cleveland, obviously, he'll help. He has good chemistry with LeBron. But what do you do with J.R. Smith, who's a starter? He's coming off the bench. Oklahoma City and Miami can give him about the same amount of money. So it'll come down to, does he want to play with his best friend, LeBron, or do you want to play with his other best friend, Carmelo? Will Houston try to figure out a way to make room for him so he can play with his other best friend, Chris Paul? But to be honest with you, I think the best fit for him is Oklahoma City. That's definitely an upgrade offensively, for sure, for them. I know a lot of people are saying that Carmelo, who will transition into, who got traded to OKC this weekend, will eat up too many shots between him, Russ, and PG, Paul George. But I'll be honest with you. Great players find a way for other great players to shine. It's just the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right.
So that's what I see. That's definitely what I see happening. I would love to see him in OKC. I just think it's a better fit for him all around. Now, it's not like he's battling the city saying, hey, I'm going to live in Cleveland or Oklahoma City or San Antonio. But it's definitely not those cities that's moving him to go one way or the other, because neither of those cities are destination cities. Not one. So we'll see what he decides to do. And like I said, we'll have some more, hopefully some more updates on him by tomorrow or the next day. But Dwayne Wade is out there. Carmelo is traded. And I think I'm good for Carmelo. Even was out. The Knicks even putting up their season ticket. And it's safe season out. So you knew it was out. I just thought they could figure out a way to get a little bit more than what they got. And Enes Kanter, and I'm going to describe it just like this. Enes Kanter, a guy the Bulls threw in the trade, and a second round pick that the Bulls threw in. I thought Carmelo was worth a little bit more than that, but obviously you're worth what you got, I guess. So,
yeah.
Brian, tell everyone how they get all these.
Hit me up on Twitter, at Ryan Dorsch. And ask me any questions you got. I'm always here. Thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate it.
Hey, Ryan, man. I appreciate fun hanging out with you today. And that's one fact.
You're useful. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Ryan Dorfman, host of UFC versus Fantasy Sports. We're right here on SportsCast. Hey, listen, everyone, thank you for joining us today. Thank you to the Yard Cigar Bar for hosting us. Tune in, of course, at the Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook fan page. And you can also get us on thesportscave.com. Remember, Cave is always with K. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter. Love to hear from you. Thanks for everyone. Back to our normal time at 1 p.m. Have a great night. Have a great day. Enjoy your Monday night football. It's a scale up. It's the game show. I can feel it. I'm the world's greatest. I am a giant. I am an eagle.